Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Ulama Profile Program with myself, Ubaidullah Boja, and you with me, inshaAllah ta'ala, until the 10 p.m. news, only with the permission, the fadl, and the grace of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really, what a week that has passed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But all the pious friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling unto them. Let alone internationally, nationally, we've lost probably 3 ulama alone or 4 ulama in this week alone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive each one of them, fill the qabrs with noor and grant them the highest of stages in Jannat wal Firdaus. Yesterday I attended a janaza of a young lad of our community that was physically challenged. And I must say just the fact that the janaza was accompanied by so many ulama, so many seniors of the community, so many youngsters, it just goes on to say that sometimes when you touch the heart of people, the impact of that will show the day you leave this world. And one of those people that have passed on now recently, one of the seniors of our area, one of the very great and wise and outspoken people of our area, was Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Luna Sahab, rahmatullahi alayh. And to speak about him and to profile him, we have his son, Brother Muhammad Luna. Brother Muhammad, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah to the listeners of Radio Islam as well.
Jazakallah so much for joining us this evening, Brother Muhammad.
Ameen.
Respected listeners, it's an open line, so if you want to give us a call, you can do so. The number is 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you can just drop me a text or a WhatsApp. The number is 071-878-9748. 078-978-9748. And if we can, inshallah, we're going to read your messages on air. Brother Muhammad, just to start the program as we always do, we start the program discussing a family history. You want to give us a little bit of a background on your marhum father, rahmatullah alayh?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. My father was born into a family of 13 children. His brother also, marhum Maulana Hassan Lunat, passed away also recently, a few years ago.
Gee.
And at an early age already, he had an affinity for deen. Fortunately, in the year, I think it was 1966, Qari Abdul Basit came to South Africa. And that was the year when my marhum father narrated to us that he went to listen to the qiraat of Qari Abdul Basit. And from there, that's where the love of the Quran into the hifz came into his heart. And virtually his whole service for deen started from that moment. So it was in fact the Quran which started off everything. We are a family of 7 as well. We are 7 children. And my father lived in various different places. So he made khidmat of deen in different areas as well. And
Before we go there, your father was born in what year?
1951.
And in which area your father was born?
He was born in Joburg, in the old Joburg known as Doornfontein.
In the old Joburg, okay. So we're saying that after Sheikh Abdul Basit came around the year 1966, then obviously the enthusiasm and the zeal to learn the knowledge of deen and the Quran and Kareem was then imbibed in the heart of your father.
Gee, that's exactly what took place. And from there on then, in the 1970s, early 1970, that's when he went to India.
Okay.
And then he went first to Dioban. And then he went to Madrasa in Tarkeshwar, where he studied. Okay. And he studied also in Moradabad. And it was under the auspices first of Maulana Asad Madni. And then after that, Maulana Arshad Madni as well.
Okay.
I know he's still alive, sorry, Mafchi. And that's where most of his studies took place. And then he came back to South Africa in, I think it was 1975.
Okay.
Where he went for that one-year Jamaat with Colonel Amiruddin.
Okay.
So he was among the first few that time that done that one-year Jamaat where they toured the whole country. And then at the same time, they managed to get virtually on the ground what's happening with regards to deen in South Africa on a whole. Because before that, there was just pockets of information from the Cape, what was happening, few parts of Natal, Transvaal. But once they did that, they virtually got a gist of like almost all the different areas what was happening. And that's where they took the effort going forward from there.
Subhanallah. Respected listeners, we are speaking about Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Lunatab Rahmatullah Alayh. And if you know anybody or if you knew Maulana and you would like to interact with us, please give us a call. The number is 011-854-1548. Alternatively, just send me a text and the number is 071-878-9748. So after that, Maulana, he joined Colonel Amiruddin for 1 year
Jee.
In around 1975.
Jee. Then in 1976, he started teaching. He used to teach in the areas of Germiston and Stanerton and surrounding areas. I'm sure most people are well aware that in those days, there weren't many much ulama at all.
Jee, jee.
And virtually my marhum father, he had a very strong personality and he got himself involved in various aspects of society. So virtually it wasn't only teaching. That time society demanded that you needed to do, example, janazas, nikahs, advice, juma lectures, you know. So it was like, from then it already started. And then in 1977, my father got married. And that was, and then he moved to Springs.
In 1977.
Yeah, and he started teaching in Springs from the year 1977 to the year 1985. So all students from around those areas, Benoni, Devon, those areas used to come to Springs. And the thing about that was that he developed such a taluk with the students, it was on a very personal nature. That's why till today, I mean, many of the students came from various, some of them even stay in different provinces now, who came down after he passed away and narrated incidents of how close they were. Because it wasn't the relationship which we have in today's time of your ustad and student. There it was on such a personal level that at night after Maghrib, between Maghrib and Isha Salah, they used to go to the houses. My father used to go to the house, discuss with the family what's the progress of the student. So it became such a personal nature of what regards to the Islamic education. And then after that, he continued with the same system in Azadville. So he started teaching in Azadville from the year 1985 to the year 1990. He was also in close companionship with Mufti Mutara. And from the year 1990 to the year 2012, he was in service with LMA Madrasa, in the various branches of the LMA Madrasa. And from the year 2012 to 2017, he was doing various welfare work with regards to the Jamiat. He was also part of the board of Radio Islam and various other projects that he was busy doing. So that virtually encompassed his life period from the time he was born till the day he passed away.
Obviously, now all of these aspects you speak about would need to be discussed in detail because there is so much of information, alhamdulillah, you've given us. Some of the information probably because of the age and that you might not have.
Gee,
but
gee.
Do you remember some of the services in particular he rendered maybe in Azadville or Springs at that time?
One of the most salient qualities, as I mentioned a bit earlier, was that personal relationship which he had.
Gee.
Right? And then also with regards to that, he also used to be very active in community work. Like if there was anything that needed to be taken, like advice for anything, if people were going through some sort of difficulty, they would come to him. Like I told you, janazas, nikahs, and the reason why I'm stressing upon this was because you must remember he needed to balance his family time together with us, you know, and he formed such relationships with his students and their parents, right? And there was also a bigger wisdom and a reason methodology behind this was he developed connections in so many places because during this time period also he used to go for dawah in various parts of the country. And he had a great affinity for reading. He had virtually a kitab collection of plus minus 5,000 kitabs, right? Which includes some very rare kitabs. It includes contemporary issues, magazines, novels, the works, you know. So he had a very deep understanding of various topics from all different dimensions as well. So whenever people approach him with something, he understood virtually the mindset they're coming with and what they're trying to portray forward as well, you know. And with regards to his connections he made later on in life, when people say that, you know what, I'm staying in this area, this is a problem I have, it was just a mere phone call which my father could make in that area, ask a person, can you assist a person in this way, can you assist him in that way? And in that way he managed to help people in tremendous ways like we never ever knew before. It is only now, since he's passed away, that people have come forward with all these stories. The amount of time in such difficulties and predicaments they were, But because Allah made it such that people were so good with him, he had such good taluk with them, that it was just a mere phone call and they were able to assist the person in need. And then another thing with regards to that as well, he also that time when he came back to Indonesia, or even before that, when they sat for itikaf, he was one of the first to sit for the full 30-day itikaf. And he used to mention to us, people used to ask and suggest, like, why are you sleeping in the masjid? You know, because there wasn't that understanding, there was still a great level of ignorance, and there was many customs that were still prevalent at that time. And after that was now the initial stages that were very difficult, and once people overcame that, now we know the situation where people actually, there's a shortage of space when it comes to with regards to itikaf as well. And then he also was very active in welfare work with regards to collections for projects in South Africa and abroad. And together with my marhum uncle, they stressed upon the need to assist the indigenous community, you know, with regards to, especially with ilm, with regards to discussing Islam to them. He says because their hearts are very soft, you know, they have many characteristics within them that are similar to Islam. And once they follow Islam, they become very good Muslims as well, you know. So he was very active also in the projects that were done in surrounding areas as well. And one thing which he stressed upon was for people to try and establish wells, because he says water is life. And my father, alhamdulillah, without exaggeration, over the years, the amount that he, with regards to the wells that got collected, I think in human figures, plus minus, we can say it's well into the millions of people that are benefiting from it now. I went on a safar with my father recently, 2 years back, to Delhi. We visited some of the institutions where there was contributions made, and we seen that certain institutions, female facilities, example madrasas, the whole transport system, virtually the buses, the whatever modes of vehicles they were using, were all facilitated via the collection and send that site. So it's a massive, massive project, because of when you look at the proportion of the population there, which is so huge. So any project that you are doing is going to yield multiple benefits as well.
Your father, in terms of the work that he's done, obviously he's done a lot of work with your late uncle as well, rahmatullah alayhi. I remember when we done the program as well on your late uncle, rahmatullah alayhi, your father would make mention of it subtly as well. So what is truly amazing and stands out for me is the completeness of your father being involved in so many different aspects and not just keeping himself to one particular field. And that truly is a great feature of your father's as well.
See, I think the reason why he developed many of his qualities is he was in the company of Marhum Mawlana Asad Madni, right? And who we know as one of the great ulama of India. And he comes from a very rich family line as well. And what happened when my father left and he started studying there was he was in a company of people that were probably 40 years his senior, ulama I'm talking about. And these were great, great ulama of those days, which very few people from the South African ulama has ever seen even. We've just heard stories of them.
Gee.
And by being in a company and doing their khidmat, he managed to learn a lot. And as most people are aware, my father was very vocal and he used to ask questions. He was never shy to ask questions. And if there was any topic that was controversial, he brought it up to the fore so that it could be eradicated or at least some discussion could be taken about it. So this is where he developed many qualities where these people imparted knowledge to him, which he in turn now came and brought it back into the South African region. So he never concentrated just on one area. It was very, very diverse. I mean, some people came and narrated to us stories that they used to ask advice from my father for the last maybe 30, 40 years, but it encompassed various aspects and things that you wouldn't even have even thought that he had knowledge of. But because he had a system in his life whereby he educated himself on so many different aspects, and when he interacted with people, he never just interacted with one dimension. He interacted with every form of society. So you could have had a person, example, who was a street sweeper, and if my father was there, he would start making a conversation to the person, where you from, what you're doing, how you're doing, and from there already he would get an understanding. They would form some sort of a bond. In similitude, I remember at one occasion we were at the Hajj and he met a Pakistani guy, a gentleman, who was a multi-billionaire. He was the owner of one of the biggest pharmaceutical companies, and he had like a one-hour conversation. you know. And from there, most of the time, it was a very something that was positive that came out from there, you know. There was an incident once, we were at the airport, and we were leaving, I think, for Hajj. And my mother and my sister are in Perla. So there was a gentleman from South America that was sitting there, and you could see he was looking quite perturbed, and he couldn't understand this. Why are the women covering themselves? So my father goes and he sits next to the gentleman. So he starts a small chatter, and it had to come to a stage where the gentleman now comes and starts to ask, but why are you concealing your woman like this? So with hikmah and wisdom, my father explains to him the whole thing, the motivation behind it, the reason, the mindset. And thereafter, before they left, he says that, you know what, I'm actually interested in this religion of yours. And he says, I will do research when I return home about this religion of yours. You know, so this is the small, small thing that came at any... They never left a moment whereby they never gave dawah to people as well. You know, and sure. The thing was, he didn't have, there was lots of trials and tribulations he went through, lots of difficulty also during his period of life, especially these last 5 years whereby he was plagued with different illnesses. He had many, many different illnesses. And one thing recently which he had was, he had diabetic neuropathy and he burnt his foot. So it led to an amputation of his foot. It got him down for just a few moments, and after that, you know, with Allah's greatness and mercy, he got up to a level where he excelled even better than before. He had some salient qualities in him which I would like to mention. One of which was he loved the Quran. He had absolute love for the Quran. One of our favorite months as a family was the month of Ramadan, because in the month of Ramadan you should make a khatam a day. This was his practice for the last 30 or 40 years odd. So every day before we read, before we break fast, we should hear the completion of the Quran, you know. And out of Ramadan now, you should read every 2 days, you should make a khatam of the Quran. And we always say we're struggling for time, but here you have a person who could utilize his time in such a manner whereby he was able to fulfill his obligations towards the dunya and towards Allah. You know, and still he woke up for the Tahajjud Salah. Recently on Sunday, he started going for zikr programs where he should wake up 4 o'clock in the morning. After his zikr, after his Tahajjud, at 4 o'clock he's already leaving, going to another town for zikr majlis. You know, at this age, with all those conditions, and taking, you know, the thing which we need to take into effect is, because why I'm highlighting the reason of this medication is the general effect we have is normally lethargy, these type of things that are associated with taking medications. But here, with no one needing to wake him up, every day he was pardoned on these things. And another thing he had, that he had amazing love for, was zikr. And he should always stress to people, and people should say, you know what should I read? He should always tell them, Ya Salamu, Ya Raqibu, Ya Hafidhu, the 99 names of Allah. He said, this is very, very powerful. He says, you don't need nothing much. This is very, very powerful. And as a person, as an individual himself, he wasn't a fan of possessions. He never collected much. His biggest possession was his kitabs. That was one of his main collections. He enjoyed his itars as well. But other than that, possessions, he never really had much affinity for it as well. And one more thing, if he ever heard someone was sick, he would try to the best of his ability always to go visit them. Whenever there was a janazah also, even in his weak state of health, he would always try even just to go read the salah and come back, you know. And these were salient qualities which really, it's very, very hard to find in today's time.
Respected listeners, we are discussing and speaking the life of Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Lunatsab Rahmatullah Alayhi, and we have his son, Brother Muhammad, who's on the line with us, and he's basically giving us a brief on the life of Hazrat Maulana, his father, Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Lunat Rahmatullah Alayhi. Maulana spoke about his brother as well when his brother passed on. But not long after that, Maulana came and we done a program on his brother as well. Some truly amazing aspects that we're going to highlight, inshallah. Just before we close the program, we'll just wrap up in terms of what were some of the things that were mentioned. If you want to get involved and be part of the program, or if you're a student of Maulana, give us a call. The number is 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you could just drop me a text, inshallah, and I would just read it out for the listeners of Radio Islam International. Muhammad Martin, I was going to ask you, are you a Hafiz or a Alim?
No, I'm not.
Okay, I was going to call, I was just making sure I don't call you by the wrong name. We made mention of quite a few aspects which we normally touch. We touched a little bit on the brief family history. We touched a little bit about your father's studies. Your father graduated with Muhammad?
If I'm not mistaken, I think it was also at Turkish or Muradabad, one of the two.
Okay. We spoke a bit of quite a bit of his services after he qualified. We spoke a little bit about his qualities, etc. Probably now comes the part whereby we involve you personally and we say, what was your father like? We know what he was like as a community person. We know what he was like as an ustad. How was he as a father?
In his initial stages, is when we were quite young that time, he was quite stern and strict, you know. He had his qualities virtually resonated with regards to mostly deen. So whatever he impressed upon us was virtually, he's saying it's for your own benefit, it's for your own akhirah. He always used to stress upon whatever you do, you excel in it, do the best towards it. But remember, your akhirah investment is the most important. He says you're going to put, he always mentioned to us, he was very fond of storytelling. So he always used to tell us stories, and even many of his students will tell you they love the history lessons because of the manner in which he used to tell stories. And he always used to stress upon us, he says, whatever you go through in life, you're going to do this, you're going to go into business school, whatever it is, but remember, your akhirah invest. What are you putting for your akhirah? What are you planting for there? That is what you need at the end of the day, you know. And in his normal day-to-day life, he was very meticulous in his routine. So like I said, generally, Quran took up a big portion of his time. So when many of us used to return work, you'll always find him there. He's busy with his Quran. And then he should do his zikrs. And then he was frequented by people asking for advice. He needed his assistance this way or that way. So he was always caught up with something or the other. He had a great affinity for kids also. His grandchildren, my nephews, if you have to ask them what will they remember of their Nana, they will tell you that Nana's reading Quran. That's most of the time they should see him reading Quran. But always, he should always, any child he used to see should go speak to them nicely. He was very fond of kids, you know. And kids always liked him a lot because of his big beard, his big white beard, you know. So much so that even if he had to go to a shopping mall and kids used to see him, they should run to him because of that beard, you know. SubhanAllah, it was quite ajib, you know. And but other than that, he was a very principled person also. He said things how it is. He never kept anything in his heart. He would tell you straight out, this what you are doing is either correct or it's not. This is the way I see that you need to take it forward. And the same philosophy which he applied at home, he applied it generally everywhere else. So it wasn't that there was a difference in personality where it was at home or out of home, you know. And alhamdulillah, he guided us along many things also. There was many difficulties as a family we went through, but alhamdulillah, through my father's barakah also, it went really, really well, because he always stressed upon put your tawakkal in Allah, put your tawakkal in Allah, no matter what happens. He also stressed upon reciting of Durood Sharif. He was very, very, very fond of recitation of Durood Sharif, particularly the Durood on Friday after Asr Salah.
Asr Salah.
He's always very particular about it. And an interesting incident, once when we went to the Roda Mubarak, for anyone who's visited and familiar, that it's extremely busy on that area. You know, people are always going through at a hampered pace. And accompanying our father, who were going past, and it was time to read, and people started pushing. And then the guard came to my marhum father, Fatlali, and brought a chair for him. And he told him, sit, and no one will disturb you.
SubhanAllah.
And I just gave him a chair. He sat, and at leisure, he was able to read while everyone else around, including ourselves, we were all virtually sheltered out of there.
Yes.
You know? But I suppose it's your service towards the deen and your love also for the Prophet ﷺ and for Durood. Allah will make these things open to you as well.
100%. There's one point I wanted to touch on, and there is something I've seen many, many times from your marhum father, rahmatullah alayh. You know, when we would have the Jamitul Ulama meetings, and right till the last secretariat meeting that was held at the office, your marhum father, rahmatullah alayh, was present at the meeting, and he was a person that he would tell you as straight as he would tell you that this is what needs to be done. Obviously, you would see that it's not something that he kept in his heart or after the mashwara or after the meeting.
Definitely.
But he would something, look, the Morana, he would tell you, this is it. Why are you doing it like this? You're not supposed to do it like this. This is how it's supposed to be done. And he would say it after much thought, and you could see he's thought out whatever he would like to make mention of in great detail. And only after that, very vociferous, he would give his viewpoint, and he would be very assertive in it, and he would not keep anything in his heart against any person that was said, whether it be the seniors or the younger ones. He would give it and he would express his view, and obviously after that then the meeting would then carry on, or after the mishwara, he would meet you again as if though, you know, he didn't say anything or he didn't take it personally. And that truly is a remarkable quality of your father that I personally had witnessed many a times from up close and personal as well.
Just to highlight on that same topic that you're mentioning, one, this was a quality which he had for many, many years. And sometimes if people never understood his character, they could have taken it in the wrong light. But in hindsight, many of the people, I mean, that we've met recently who we never knew before, they express the exact same sentiment. And they said that when we actually realized there was so much of hikmah and wisdom in what was said, that we later on sometimes we even came and we apologized for why we felt bad, you know, and we thought it was actually something that it never passed our mind. We never thought of it in that way. And that now that we actually come and we think, we're like, really, that made so much of sense, you know. And the thing was, he never ever kept any hatred or malice, like you said. He'll tell you straight how it is. This is, he'll put the ball in your court. This is what you need to do. Try and do it this way, you know. And then after that, it's up to you what you want to do, you know. And you should always tell us, this is as much as I can do from my side. From what limited knowledge I have, this is what I can tell people, or this is what advice I can give. After that, that's not up to me, you know. And the reason why he kept himself involved in welfare work, especially with regards to the Jamiat and Radio Islam, there was always a very strong passion with regards to the growth of Islam in South Africa. And these are two channels that are very powerful in it. And they've been there from the start of it. They've been through the mull with regards to the amount of difficulty that was in the initial stages. And now, alhamdulillah, you know, there's a much greater reach. There's a much bigger variety of ulama all over the place. Young ulama, you know, youthful enthusiasm all over the place, which makes things much more easier. The use of technology, all these things. But with that, the hikmah and wisdom that is provided by the older generation can never ever be eradicated.
No, definitely. I must say, you know, I visited your house when your father just had the operation, not long after that, with Maulana Abbas up, you know, we came there and we spent quite a bit of time, I must say, at that time. And your father that time, what was amazing was a few things that we came across. One was his relationship with his teachers even till then.
Correct.
You know, he would say, I spoke to this Ustad or I spoke to this Morana and he was telling me this happened and all of that. That was something that really stood out, that even after that many years, he still had ta'aluk with Mohan Arshad Madani Daman Barakat to home. He knew exactly what was happening, even in the India Jamiat.
Correct.
You know, not only at the Jamiat here, he knew, Mohana, well, this is happening and they shouldn't have this, or this that they done, we should try and inculcate or something like that. He was so well aware of what's happening, even up to now. That was the one thing that really stood up. And the other thing that stood out for me was how streetwise he was. He knew what was happening in the communities. He knew what the localities were doing. There were so many things that Maulana was aware of that was happening on the streets. Even though sometimes maybe the older generation are not tech-savvy like the younger ones, but yet he had his hand on the pulse, and that to me was something that really stood out.
Gee, that's very true. Recently, Maulana Arshad Madani visited South Africa. And there's this fervor, and you see this enthusiasm which my father had. And we always say that's like his virtually Red Bull, you know. When he gets the senior ulama to come or anything, and they frequent the shores of South Africa, he gets this enthusiasm, which we say there's nothing much else that gives him the same amount of enthusiasm. Because he loves making the khidmat. He was always, his life was spent in this, in the khidmat of other ulama, in the service of deen, whereby he could maximize benefit. And whenever these ulama are coming here, he's always addressing them with certain topics that are taking place. Topics that are taking place in those countries. Like recently there's a topic of the three talaqs at one go in India, and many other topics, you know. But these things, it can happen there, but as fast as happening, it can switch over to South Africa as well, you know. So that's why he had understanding of there, he had understanding of also other places, because he had colleagues from many different parts of the world. And the unique thing is, because like I explained earlier, his taluk with them is, even now 40 years later since he met them, till today people still come and phone and keep their taluk of what's happening, how's the situation there, what's the level of Islam there, what are the new challenges that are taking place, you know. So this was all for a deeper reason of the assistance of Deen for mankind, not just for South Africa, because we know the Islam is for everyone virtually, you know, and the Wali should be for everyone as well. So this was the same sort of fikr that he had. He should keep into contact with Maulana, the ulama from Medina as well, you know, to know what's happening there, what's the circumstance, what problems people are undergoing also at that side, you know. And wherever people needed any assistance, whatever, from our side, from here, what they could do, whether it was in a means of advice, in a means of some way or the other, it was always given forward as well.
You know one thing, Muhammad, that stood out for me as well from your father's life, and I've seen it, is the passion in which he had done the services he was going to do. So if he was involved in a Jamiat activity, or if he was involved in some welfare work, the passion in which he done that work at this age also was truly marvelous.
I think there's a recent project which the Jamiatul Ulama was busy with. It was with regards to the madrasas in Cape Town. And he was very, very vocal about that, you know, even when on our dinner table and things like that, where he was saying that Islam entered South Africa through the Cape, and there is currently there is a massive stagnation with regards to maktab and Islamic education there, and the problem of gangsterism and drugs, you know. And he had a great passion for the Cape region in itself. He really loved it, you know. And the one stage he was also in a hospital. He had a very bad infection, and he needed to stay there a few days. And the Jamia and the meeting for Cape Town was coming up, so much so that he even told the doctor, "I needed discharge to go to Cape Town for that meeting." He got a discharge, but when he came home, we told him that he cannot even walk. How is he going to go there? You know.
True.
But this was the level of passion that he had for his projects. Right up till the end. And you know, Allah made it such that in these last few weeks before he passed away, he virtually went on a high, an extreme high, spiritually, whereby Quran, his salahs, with regards to his zikr, his projects, whatever he wanted to get sorted and done, most of it got accomplished before he passed away. And it was really a jeep for us, because we knew his health condition before that. And you know, it was like a complete turnaround, and then suddenly then he passed on.
Muhammad, we have about 7 minutes left, and I want to just discuss two things. One is obviously the last stages of his life and his passing away. But before that, is there anything that you would like to give input to our program?
The main thing is for us also as a community to acknowledge ulama in general. And especially with regards to our senior ulama that are still alive, you know, we should, as a community, we should try and take more benefit from them, because they've got such a wealth of knowledge that they're sitting on. And if we don't tap into that knowledge, we are going to be the only ones that are losers. So that's the advice for anyone, for me myself personally, and for the community at large. We shouldn't just leave it up to the internet to gain knowledge, because these are like priceless gems that are in front of us, that are in our possession, that we can take benefit of, but we're not taking heed of it. So inshallah, I think this is a message out there. And also a general dua, you know, for the maghfirat of my marhum father, rahmatullahi, and all other marhumin also.
Muhammad, tell me, your father, he was ill for some time, obviously going for an operation. I think he had sugar or diabetes as well.
He was sick from the year, he had various illnesses from the year 2012 to the year 2017. Many times he was in ICU for elongated periods, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. And then I told you he had amputation as well. So there was, he had, with regards to his health, he was always at ups and downs. But the one thing which really stood out was the minute he arrives home, he enters the garage. The first thing he does, he doesn't go nowhere in the house, he goes in and he performs his any salahs that he didn't complete. So he had zero salahs that were outstanding.
Subhanallah.
So that was one quality which he never ever left. You know, that was one thing he always impressed upon. So even in the clinic, he knew the minute he thought, okay, this is how many days I was there, this is how many I need to catch up, that's what he did. And then that was sorted out. And like I said, last year, 2016, was a very difficult year because of the amputation, and you know, he wasn't able to move much and things like that. But after that, alhamdulillah, you know, he formed that motivation always to continue. And when people used to come here, they were like, "But you were in such a bad condition. Alhamdulillah, you're looking so much better," you know.
And you know, alhamdulillah, Allah is so great how he made him continue with the work of deen right up till the end. You know, I mean, I think the last few meetings, that last few days, he was with, in the Jamiat meeting twice, once in a Radio Islam board meeting as well.
And he attended was with a few other projects as well. Tanfiz Abdurrahman Ghamji also sent a message that when they were discussing the Cape Town meeting, he was there in Akenhof, and even said that, look, next year I'm going to be going for Imtihan, etc. as well. So obviously you can see that his eagerness to be able to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all levels.
That's
is something
true.
Which is truly amazing, and I think it is something for each one of us to learn with regards to your late father. In fact, Radio Islam, till he passed away, he was an official board member of the Radio Islam, seeing to the running of the Radio Islam, the programming, etc. This is truly a unique, a remarkable feat in the life of Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Lunatab, rahmatullah alayh.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
When did your father pass away, Muhammad?
He passed away on Wednesday night, which is now exactly 2 weeks.
2 weeks
ago, Jay.
And then he
was virtually on the 22nd of November.
22nd of November.
Jay.
And who performed this janazah salah?
Mufti Mutara from Darul Mazar, which was also his very close friend as well.
Jay. Muhammad, we've spent a great deal of time with you, and really we've learned so much from the life of your father. Before we end this program, I just want to do a quick recap. Tonight, respected listeners, we done the life of Hazrat Maulana Hassan Lunatab, rahmatullah alayhi. Maulana was born in 1957, and Maulana and them were the first inclination or the first motivation that Maulana had towards studying and towards the Quran and Kareem was in 1966 when Maulana heard Sheikh Abdul Basit Abdul Samad when he was in South Africa. Maulana has 7 children that he survived by, and obviously his wife as well. Maulana was born in the old Joburg area. Maulana started off and went to India around 1970, where he went to Turkeshwar, Moradabad, and for some time also Maulana was in Darul Uloom Deoband. In 1975, Maulana then returned and came to South Africa. In 1976, Maulana taught at Germiston, Standerton, and there were not many ulama at that time. Between the times of 1977 and 1985, Maulana moved to Springs, and he had a very close relationship with the learners of the Springs. Many a times from Maghrib to Isha, Maulana would go to the houses and visit them and give an update and be concerned about the learners of the area. From 1985 to 1990, Maulana spent in Azadville, and then from 1990 to 2012, Maulana was at the LMA, Muhammad, or LMS?
LMA.
Maulana was at the LMA from that time, from 1990 until 2012. From 2012 to 2017, then Maulana was involved in welfare work, the Jamiatul Ulama, the Radio Islam, and obviously many other aspects with regards to the service of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is amazing, respected listeners, is every day in the month of Ramadan, Maulana would make one khatam of the Holy Quran. And that khatam would just be completed just before the iftar salah, and obviously the family would be sitting there, and Maulana would be closing the khatam of the Quran and Kareem, and not very long after that, the adhan for the Maghrib salah would go, whereby then the fast would be open. And after the month of Ramadan, especially in the last few days of his life, or the last portion of his life, every second day, Maulana would make one khatam of the Holy Quran, with all the other responsibilities that he had done. So Maulana has passed on. It's just above 2 weeks ago that Maulana passed away. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest of stages, forgive all his shortcomings, fill his qabrs with nur, and make it such that the family that is survived, Allah grant them the support, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them. Muhammad, a very fantastic and amazing program this evening. Much appreciated, and Jazakallah for joining us.
Ameen, Jazakallah wa khairan.
Ameen. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Respected listeners, this is Muhammad Luna, the son of Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Luna, sahab rahmatullah alayhi. And obviously we've been speaking about Maulana for the last, just under an hour. And Maulana is really, some of his qualities, his forthrightness, his assertiveness, and also the fact that the different aspects of deen that Maulana served, you know, the times and the opportunities for us to spend in the service of deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is plentiful. You make yourself available, Allah will accept you inshallah. You know, many a times my father would tell me in Urdu couplet, he says, in the Urdu couplet goes something to the effect that there are many people that have the ability to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I forget the first part, but the second part goes, مَقْبُول تُو بَهُوت شَعَزْ هَي. That there are many people that have the ability to do that, but there are very few that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had accepted to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we make dua that although we're worth nothing and we don't have anything to present, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are able to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah grant us ikhlas and sincerity. And all these ulama that are passing away, really the year 2017, just going through the book that I make notes on, there are so many ulama that only passed away in this year. Imagine how many great senior ulama that we have lost. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ni'am al-badal. And those that have passed away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill the qubuz with nur, grant them the highest of stages in Jannat al-Firdaus, and make it easy for all of those that have survived by them. Respected listeners, next week we will not have the ulama profile. After that, inshallah, we shall carry on with the ulama profile. From myself, Ubaidullah Bawja, my producer, Brother Osama, we say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.